Today we are welcoming Dr. Tess Laurie. She is the co-founder of the World Council for Health. She's an expert in evidence synthesis and guideline development. She's a physician. She was worked in obstetric gynecology briefly, intermittently. She's a PhD. She's the CEO of Evidence-Based Medicine Consultancy. And she's got some ideas. We will talk with her about the rigors of science as they should be applied as compared to how they have been applied, which is, again, mind-boggling to those of us that were trained as scientists. So we got a lot to get to today. And of course, we watch you on the Rumble Rants and over at the Restream. And I'll see if I can. I have not turned on the Twitter spaces yet, but I will do so right now. We'll see you after this.
Our laws as it pertains to substances are draconian and bizarre.
The psychopaths start this way.
He was an alcoholic.
Because of social media and pornography, PTSD,
love addiction,
fentanyl and heroin.
Ridiculous.
I'm a doctor for Christ's sake. Where the hell do you think I learned that?
I'm just saying, you go to treatment before you kill people.
I am a clinician. I observe things about these chemicals.
Let's just deal with what's real.
We used to get these calls on Loveline all the time.
Educate adolescents and to prevent and to treat.
If you have trouble you can't stop and you want to help stop it, I can help.
I got a lot to say. I got a lot more to say.
So whether you have 3 minutes in the morning or 30 minutes to keep your face wrinkle-free, I want to introduce you to Gen 90, the new instant wrinkle cream from Genucel. Gen 90 instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it, around the eyes, the forehead, the crow's feet, the laugh lines, even the chin. It starts working in seconds. Never worry about your skin or your confidence again. Gen 90 technology is luxurious, nourishing, and silky smooth. And best of all, it starts working, as I said, in just seconds. And now you get Genucel XV, the collagen builder moisturizer with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in a pure natural base for stunning results day after day. Our friends at Genucel have upgraded Susan's personalized skincare bundle to include their brand new Gen 90 for immediate effects at Genucel.com/Drew. Before you go overseas to get harsh procedures for thousands of dollars, try that Gen 90 first. Order right now at Genucel.com/Drew and get a free luxury beauty box that includes their incredible neck treatment and free shipping. That is Genucel.com/Drew, GenuCel.com/DREW.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And you can follow Dr. Laurie's material on Twitter. It's X L A W R I E underscore D R and Dr. Tess, T E S S, Laurie, L A W R I E, .substack.com for the Substack. And she's got peer review scientific publications on PubMed. Please welcome Dr. Tess Laurie. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Dr. Drew. Great to be here.
So it's a pleasure to have you. I guess we should start with sort of what astonishes you these days about what has happened to our profession and to the sort of foundational principles of science and published literature. Because it's a huge, we talk about it all the time, but I'm curious to get your thoughts about that.
Yeah, well, we seem to have seen a shift, certainly, with clinical practitioners, not just doctors, but across the board. This deference to, or the derogation of conscience and ethical practice to regulatory bodies, societies, or whatever, and sort of rules and regulations. And I think that process where they are just they're sort of following orders has disconnected them from their patients and their Hippocratic oath, and the promise to do no harm.
So let me stop you right there and just say, you know, what worries me is not just that that's happening. It was astonishing to see it happen during COVID. I thought it was something new, but maybe it isn't. But if they are being trained that way, how do they ever develop medical judgment or even an ethical compass? I mean, ethics, morality is an instinct to some extent, and it comes from judgment. Are you concerned about the lack of growth of the clinicians, of the young clinicians' ability to have that judgment?
Yes, I am. And I think it's almost a sort of grooming process that starts really early on in school during the selection process, you know. And so it's the young people who are good at ticking the boxes, knowing how to pass the exams. And then they're the ones that get into medical school. The medical schools have all been infiltrated by private industry and big pharma in particular, so that protocols and things are being designed around pharmaceutical remedy or, you know, products rather than and treating symptoms rather than doctors being trained to look at the root cause. What is causing disease? You know, could it be environmental factors, pollutants, etc.? Could it be pharmaceutical products, for example, that get given in huge numbers to very young babies and children. So, it's this infiltration, public-private partnerships, these academic private partnerships that have really corrupted medicine and medical ethics. And so we no longer I would say that doctors are not very well trained now, and that they're trained to follow orders and follow protocols rather than really listen to the needs of their patients and think about the root causes before reaching for pills and injections.
And this is getting even more sort of centralized in terms of the authority structure. The World Health Organization wants to have fiat authority over elected officials. They want to be the final arbiter of everything, it seems like. What's the solution? I hate to jump all the way to this at the beginning here, but what should we be doing?
Well, the solution is really just for us each as individuals to stop outsourcing our health to others, because we've just learned from the UK Prime Minister that they were just listening to the doctors. And meanwhile, doctors say they've just been following orders and doing what the politicians tell us. And the General Medical Council as well says that it's basically a response to politicians in parliament. So you have a system where nobody's taking responsibility. So, you know, as the public, we really need to take back control of our own health and say, okay, I'm not going to take anything else. I'm going to do my own research, look at natural products before reaching for pharmaceutical products and not outsource our decision making to politicians.
Not only that, I think that I've sort of given up on restoring the patient-doctor integrity and autonomy, at least for the time being. My goal has been to move the empowerment over to the patient themselves and give them access not just to alternative therapeutics, but also pharmaceutical therapeutics that they understand and have used their whole life. This is not mysterious. I put together some travel kits where if you get a diarrhea and you're traveling in Central America, guess what? This Cipro might be useful for you, and you might want to think about that. And here's the condition. You know, it's not hard. And oh, by the way, if you get a sinus infection, you know what you take when you're at stateside. Well, that's what you take when you're traveling. Also, it's so silly that we make them walk into something like an urgent care and pay for all that infrastructure and employees and equipment. There's no need for it anymore. So I don't know. I think some of this has to be about really empowering patients to take over their healthcare away from all this centralized authority and insane bureaucracy.
Yes, I think people have been trained to think that new is better, so they must have the new expensive drug, which is really not the case. The old, more established medicine far safer. We know their safety profiles. They've been around for 4 years, decades. And so we really need to look to repurposing the older medicines for those reasons. Of course, there's no money in that, which is why there's no research
on the old ones. Right. So it's pennies per pill as opposed to hundreds of dollars per pill. Pennies per pill. We've been using them forever. We know how to use them. They're safe as can be, or we wouldn't be doing this. And because there is nobody to pay for the phase three, even the phase two trials, the only people that can really learn how to use some of these repurposed products is physicians using them. And then again, their judgment once again and their clinical experience. I was reminding somebody the other day that randomized clinical trials have only been around for 75 years. I understand they are a gold standard. Most of them aren't powered sufficiently. In other words, there are not enough patients in the population to draw the conclusions they draw. So they're not powered enough. And there are other things other than RCTs that can give us information scientifically. What do you say to that?
Yeah, and they're certainly not powered enough to do side effects. You know, they're usually powered for efficacy, not side effects. So it takes time to build up the database showing showing of side effects and adverse reactions. So, you know, I would say the other thing is we really need to get back in touch with common sense. Because if something's really safe, you know, say just say safer than aspirin or paracetamol, or, you know, and you can read the package in certain instructions and that many of these things are just available over the counter, and they should be the medicines that we go reach for first before, you know, trying the more novel experimental and newer drugs that that have been touted by the pharmaceutical industry.
And again, this is why I like working with the wellness company so much. And if you have more questions, get a telehealth visit for pennies compared to walking into an urgent care. And then you'll be prescribed, if you're appropriate, some of these inexpensive medication, if appropriate. So anyway, there's so many different ways to do this now that that we should be really focusing on that. But I want to get back to the evidence-based problem.
if I could just pop in there, you know, the other thing is, we all look after our cars a lot better than we look after ourselves. So we need to take preemptive and a preventive approach to our health rather than waiting till we get sick. And just like we do an annual checkup with our cars, we should be doing, things that keep us well rather than just always treating disease or looking for disease.
100%. One of the things that people don't, you know, we think about exercise and food and fitness, and I'll get to that in a section, and sleep, but screening for DNA repair abnormalities. There are common, people know about the BRCA genes, but there are other genes like that that you can easily screen for a very low cost that can change the screening patterns you might get into. So screening becomes an important part of health maintenance, and the frequency of that screening or the intensity of that screening, you can refine it with knowing the risk based on DNA screening. Then sleep, very important. Food in this country, Dr. Lori, food is killing us, and I'm sick of it. And it's very simple, but people have got to take. I'm really getting very serious about this now. At this point in my career, they have to take control of this. They have to change this. And same thing with exercise. It has to change. And you can't suddenly decide at 88 or 75 that now is the time you're going to look after longevity and health. You got to start in your 30s and 40s. It's got to be lifelong patterns, and there's no reason it shouldn't be. And by the way, in today's world, there's so many options for all these things. There's so many ways to do this that it's sort of silly that we don't emphasize this, and we allow the food companies. And again, they're just doing what they do. I don't want to lay blame at their feet, but they've created products that are addictive, and they make you eat more, and you need to know that. And they're not doing it because it's nourishing for you.
Yeah, well, I think we need to take a good look at everything that we put into our bodies, both physically, you know, and mentally, everything that we're consuming, and look at it with fresh eyes and say, you know, have I been sold this? You know, is this what I would choose to be healthy? You know, watching TV, being on gadgets, or is this, am I the victim of propaganda and I need to disconnect from all these digital devices and get out into nature and maybe all that fast food isn't that good for me, or the processed food, or the, you know, the ready meals, and I need to cook my own food and have family meals. And so I think it is a time where we have to really take stock of how we've contributed to our state of health, and we need to stop being consumers and be more discerning about what we
I agree. And there's something else been on my mind lately, is that in this country, again, particularly, we are fearful, literally in a panic. It throws, I've seen patients fly into panics about being hungry, a normal state that we should be quite used to, or any sort of discomfort / misery, what Dr. Freud used to call ordinary misery. We immediately want relief from ordinary misery and hungry, which are not pathological states. They are, in fact, good for us. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And the number of people who think they're starving if they, you know, miss breakfast is rather amusing. We actually don't need to eat three times a day with tea breaks and coffee snacks and things in between. Mm-hmm. It's being shown that intermittent fasting is really good for us. And if we eat between a window of sort of midday and 7 or 8 o'clock at night, it actually gives our bodies time to rest. So we're not going to die of starvation.
No, oh my God. Starvation is good. Starving, if hunger is good. Starvation is a different state. You know, you're not, trust me, Americans are not going to get into that state of starvation. That's not going to happen. But I want to talk for a couple minutes here before I have to go to break about evidence-based medicine. I feel like evidence basis of therapeutic choices is an extremely important discipline and philosophy. And I feel like it has been hijacked, where evidence basis has become so bureaucratized. You mentioned earlier that physicians have become box checkers. Well, the people that build those boxes would defend that as it's the evidence. It's just the evidence. And evidence is not thus saith the Lord. Let me give a little frame for this. In my world, I worked in a psychiatric, I'm an internist, but I worked in a psychiatric hospital for many years. And one of the things I noticed immediately was that literally all the literature in addiction medicine was flawed, because no one rarely was there more than a 3-month time horizon on the studies. Most I ever saw was 6 months, and that is nothing in the disease of addiction. That is a zero time frame. That is a tick of the clock. Now 6 months might give me some information, but it is certainly not thus saith the Lord. What has happened? Do you agree with me, A, and B, what the heck has happened to evidence-based medicine?
Yeah, I do agree with you. And what's happened is it's been hijacked by the pharmaceutical industry, so that only randomized controlled trials are the gold standard. And only if they are, you know, if they tick certain boxes and they cost $1 million or more, can they be done. Now, this is simply absurd, the situation we've got. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the evidence pyramid, but at the top of the evidence pyramid are meta-analyses of randomized controlled trials. And then you have randomized controlled trials, and it goes down to different types of studies. And at the bottom, you've got experience and opinion of health professionals. So, there was a time when the experience of health professionals was valued. And studies done by small studies done by health professionals, case reports, all of these types of studies were important in building a picture, a big picture of whether medicine is useful, how useful, for what conditions, and whether it's has side effects and so on. But since the randomized controlled trials started being done and being lauded as this gold standard, now it's like anything that was done before randomized controlled trials is simply ignored, and including doctors' experience, and all of those studies. If you think of the hundreds of studies, all those PhD papers written by doctors and scientists that aren't randomized controlled trials, they just get chucked out. And the only trials that get looked at are the randomized trials in this new model of what they're calling the science. So it really needs changing. And instead of this hierarchical approach, we really need a more integrative approach where we have all of that evidence from all those different sorts of studies contributing to the final assessment of what works and what doesn't, including patient's experience, which is a very important part of evidence synthesis, actually hearing from patients what works for them, what they like. Many people are afraid of injections.
Oh, that's interesting.
That would be useful to take into account when designing.
But their experience is just marginalized, really, let's be fair. So I had experience just this last weekend that broke my brain that I want to share with you, which is, I was very familiar with the bench literature on the theoretical mechanism of antiviral activity for ivermectin and for hydroxychloroquine. I'd read it very carefully, and it was impressive. And I thought, oh, this might have some use. I used it during COVID. I wasn't impressed. I mean, Paxlovid, it worked. But I had experienced this weekend where I was traveling with Peter McCullough, who's a big advocate for early treatment. And one of the partners of one of the people traveling with us got a severe viral illness. He was clearly going down with high fevers, chills, prostration. He was sick. And I thought, oh, damn, this is not, we're another country. This is not going to go well. And Dr. McCullough goes, no, I want you to use this much ivermectin and this much doxycycline. And this dude was not just better in 8 hours. He was well. And I thought, oh, my God. It just changed my outlook. I thought, they have been advocating for getting this during the viral replication phase. I have ignored it because the later on in these illnesses, it's not as efficacious, but there's something to this and I need to learn more about it. That has been complete. Just to say that, I risk being taken down on YouTube. I'm just saying I saw something work. I want to learn more about it. It fit. Oh, here we go. He has to put up a. It's hysterical. He has to put up a disclaimer. But okay. But I saw something work. I want to learn more about it. It fits the biological mechanism as I understand it, which very early suppression of viral replication. I should know more. I should try it in other situations where I don't have a lot else to offer, and I don't want to use protease inhibitors that are so toxic. Do you have any thoughts on this, or am I going about this the right way? Evidence way to go about it? Go ahead.
This is basically, what started my COVID journey and realizing that the pharmaceutical industry is so corrupt and the pressures because. Ivermectin was shown in the early, by the end of 2020, there was sufficient evidence for ivermectin in combination with other supplements and things to be recommended for the prevention and treatment of COVID. But it was withheld because it was a major threat to the drug industry, to the vaccine industry. And, in my opinion, the COVID vaccines would never have been able to be authorized had there been effective early treatment and prevention. So there was evidence, sufficient evidence, mm-hmm. and it's just common sense, as you've just demonstrated, Dr. Drew. When you're dealing with safe old established medicine that costs cents, it actually does cost about 3 cents to produce a tablet. And it could be widely available. In many countries, it's available over the counter. It's used for as an antiparasitic. So, we should just be able to use our common sense. It's safer than aspirin. It's safer than Tylenol. We should be able to just use our common sense and say, well, even if the World Health Organization doesn't recommend it, perhaps we should just use our common sense and try it in the early stages of COVID or other conditions.
Other viral illness. I kind of feel like these. Yeah, these could sort of revolutionize. I don't have anything to offer an acute viral illness particularly. And then the patient wants antibiotics when they have a viral illness. And I know that's only adding to the destruction of the biological, you know, the biome. And this might, perhaps there's something here. Perhaps there's something interesting. Perhaps doctors should be thinking about it. And I know Dr. McCullough is a very, I'm going to get him back on this show and talk about his specific protocols, because I was like,
he knows how to use that emergency kit from the wellness company. Yes, like does. Nobody
yes.
else
yes, does.
Fortunately, we had a few because we were with TWC. So everybody pulled out all their kits and got them
well. It broke my brain. It really was astonishing. The only thing I've seen work that well in a viral illness is I've seen Paxlovid work very, very, very well for bad COVID, which is what it's designed for, people over 65. Fine. But for somebody who's 35 with an unclear viral illness, or 45 or 55 with a viral illness of uncertain source,
And like you said, in a foreign country where it could go south fast and then you're stuck in a
And by the way,
room.
If it gets away, like the virus has a chance to replicate, that's where we really get into trouble. That's where the cytokine storms come in. That's where all these other things happen. And so, I don't know, it just got me thinking. It's a way of thinking that is not being supported out there, I would say.
No, but Dr. Drew, it's not just for the early stages. You know, we have had accounts of individuals who've been told they're going to have to go on a ventilator. They're in the ICU. They've got to go on a ventilator, and they've smuggled in ivermectin. A member of the family's taken it in for them. They've taken it, and within a few hours, they've been discharged from the ICU and into the ward, much to the surprise of the physicians treating them. So it's a common story, and it's a story that has been withheld from the public because ivermectin is a major threat, and other older established medicines, a major threat to a pharmaceutical industry.
I have to tell you, I would have been somewhat dismissive of that opinion a week ago, but I am not now. But that's really the core of our conversation, which is that these clinical experiences have meaning and need to be watched and cultivated. And as you said, it's all the information needs to be brought together on behalf of the patient. Dr. Lori, I've got to take a little break here. Where would you like people to go? If they went to one place, would it be the Substack or X?
Substack would be good. Thank you.
Okay. And that Substack is what's the
Substack? I'm not censored.
Right. And X is Lori, LAWRIE _DR. And the Substack, I want to get that address right. It is tesslori.substack.com. Take a little break. We'll be right back with more Dr. Tess Lori after this. Are you one of the millions of American women and men dealing with premature hair thinning and hair loss? Or maybe you're scared about inheriting that thinning look because it runs in your family? Start 2024 with a real solution that delivers results without the harsh side effects or unwanted chemicals, and no need for a prescription. Previa uses a safe natural ingredient, Procapil, to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning and hair loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb. Right now, new customers save over 50% plus free shipping. Every introductory package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus the Provia Super Concentrate for faster, more noticeable results. Don't wait. Order now to save an extra 10% and get free shipping at proviahair.com/Drew. That's ProviaHair, proviahair.com/DREW.
As a physician, I am deeply concerned about efforts to erode the doctor-patient relationship. And as medical freedom continues to come under assault, I'm on a mission to empower you to be able to take care of yourselves and your family the way you want to. I urge you to get this medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. It contains essential prescription medication you should really always have on hand. Here's Dr. Peter McCullough, Chief Scientific Officer.
It's a very broad and diverse medical kit. Can handle everything from a urinary tract infection, a fungal infection, a bronchitis. People can, via telemedicine, get their questions answered and get on the right track. But it's basically an at-home formulary. Yep. For the first time, people, instead of being held captive by an urgent care or by a doctor's office or an ER, they can actually do this themselves at home.
Save yourself the wait and the hassle and feel better faster. Go to drdrew.com/TWC for 10% off. That is drdrew.com/TWC for 10% off the medical emergency kit. We all know the value of a good night's sleep. We feel better, look better, have more energy to spare, but you could be missing out on all of those benefits if you're sleeping on sheets that are too hot or too cold or just plain uncomfortable. I have the solution. Cozy Earth bedding. Cozy Earth is the softest and most comfortable sheets, blankets, loungewear, and more. They use premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo, and we sleep in them regularly. I wear their t-shirts. Susan wears their pajamas. Cozy Earth bedding comes with a 100-night sleep trial, which means you have up to 100 nights to sleep on them, wash them, try them out. If you're not in love, just return them within 100 days for a full refund. Susan and I love them. In fact, we have Cozy Earth sheets on our bed right now, and they made a huge difference in our sleep. If you've never tried Cozy Earth, we have some awesome news. You can save up to 35% off Cozy Earth right now. But hurry, this offer will not last. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Drew at checkout for up to 35% off on your first order. That is CozyEarth.com, promo code Drew, CozyEarth, CozyEarth.com, code Drew. And before I bring Dr. Lori back, I want to remind you the parallel economies have empowered us to take care of our health. So we've been discussing longevity. Likewise, our pets. Pet parents have a place to go now when it comes to keeping the family dogs, cats, even horses in their best possible shape. As a dog dad and as a dog family, we are thrilled to be working with Pet Club 24/7, co-founded by two guys who lost several dogs to serious conditions, including cancer. Pet Club 24/7 is an incredible array of products, including a line of healthy supplements for humans as well. The Inforce Plus Coriolis Versicolor with Reishi is one of those products. Nonetheless, the most in demand for dogs is called Mush Puppies. It's a dog treat. It's this one. And it's the most potent Coriolis Versicolor mushroom, which supports the immune system, according to hundreds of clinical studies. Pet Club 24/7's Mush Puppies is made here in the U.S. No fillers, no addicting quality at all. Your dogs can't accidentally overdose either. Our dogs, Rex and Georgina, love them. Rex goes crazy for them. We checked with our vet, and she absolutely co-signed it, said, please, this is a great idea. Mush Puppies also has glucosamine, carotene, and chondroitin for joint health. Great news is we have a Dr. Drew approved deal for you. Go to drdrew.com/petclub247 for a discount. That is drdrew.com/petclub247. PETCLUB247. Also find it at drdrew.com/sponsors. All right, let's get our guest, Dr. Tess Lori, back in with us. And before the break, we were talking about evidence-based medicine and physician observation and how things have become so, I can only think of it as adulterated. Are you also seeing the adulteration, really kind of censorship, I would call it, of medical publication?
Yes, well, it took us a while to, we did a systematic review on ivermectin in 2021. And it took us a while to get that published. And there've been so many. I haven't seen as many retractions and things as we have in the last few years where papers go up and then they get taken down, criticized. There's a barrage of criticism and then they get taken down. It really has been quite extraordinary to watch what's happened in the past few years. So our paper is still up, I'm happy to say. And it's among the top 10 papers in 23 million articles, tracked articles.
And you had mentioned a couple of times in our conversation sort of health maintenance and you know, taking care of ourselves well before we need pharmaceutical agents. Other than what I had laid out before, which was nutrition, exercise, sleep, these sorts of things, what else were you thinking of?
Well, we are working with a number of, we're basically a grassroots organization, and we work with a number of partners who have brought our attention, a number of health risks, pollutions, and so on, and the things that can be done. So we are, obviously, the COVID vaccines are a big worry, but not just that. The COVID disease has left many people with spike, circulating spikes and long COVID. But the vaccines in particular, we are very concerned because they give the body a recipe to make spike protein, and that recipe we doesn't seem to have an off switch, or at least a known off switch. So we are encouraging and compiling detox protocols from around the world that people can try to reduce and clear out spike proteins from and heavy metals from the COVID vaccines. But also, just generally speaking, we're encouraging detox for everybody because, you know, there's fluoride in the water, there's a lot of pollutants in the atmosphere, and there's also radio frequency radiation, electromagnetic radiation, which is at unprecedented levels, another unregulated industry. So all of these things work together to make us feel unwell or for us to be less healthy. And so we're really encouraging people to undertake detox, to get out into nature as much as possible. And with your shoes off and breathing in the fresh air without your mobile phones, doing things like intermittent fasting, so giving your bowel a rest, and looking at and taking nutritional supplements, so a variety, so including lots of vitamin D and sunshine. So you know, so really we're asking people to get back to basics and really start getting healthy. There's no time like the present to take control of your health.
Hey, what supplements other than vitamin D or do you have in mind?
Well, vitamin C is hugely important. And in actual fact, many of our natural naturopath healers are suggesting high doses, like as much as 5 grams a day. And zinc, lots of fermented foods as well, sauerkraut and kimchi for gut health. So there are a variety, and I urge people to have a look at our detox protocols to see what they would like to take.
I worry about, I've seen some convincing data on estrogen and plastics, excuse me. Is that an area of concern for you?
It's not an area of great knowledge that I have, but I am aware that plastic bottles are really bad and we should avoid them because they have estrogen content. So also in water and that. So I certainly use filtered water, and I would encourage people to use filtered water to avoid plastic bottles, rather to get a good water filter, so that you make sure that you're drinking clean water. And really thinking about your family as well, you know, because I really worry the children are being, there's so many contaminants in our food, all this food that is sort of long life. So really we need to look at eating fresh, vegetables and fruit, food that hasn't been processed and food that's local as well. I know people, there's an emphasis on organic, but organic is just another authority, control mechanism. And in actual fact, if you can locate a farmer who you trust, who says, I'm not using Roundup on my food, I don't use those pesticides on the plants that I'm growing, that's a much better way of getting your food. So there are a few things there.
Are you worried about the reports of excess deaths? I know your country has begun to, the UK has begun to maybe look at these things a little bit. They're ignoring it here completely. I'm not even sure there's agreement that there is excess death. So I guess it would be, are we having excess deaths? And what do you believe is in that group?
We're definitely having excess deaths. In actual fact, the figures show that there's 10% more deaths now than there were during COVID. So there's not a word about it. You know, during COVID, there was a daily count on the television, on the news, so many people have died, and, it was all very worrying. Now there's 10 times that, and there's absolute silence, So very, very worrying. It's the silence that's worrying the most. because the people know on the street, everybody knows somebody's died. Many people are sick and their health is deteriorated post-vaccination. And there's just absolute silence from the authorities. In actual fact, they continue to push the COVID vaccine program on everybody. And, you know, it's just, it's discombobulating because people can, they have their personal experience and then they're receiving text messages all the time to say, come for your next booster. And it's so hard for people to believe that the system can be so out of control. But I can tell you that we've just submitted a paper today on the, it's the World Health Organization's Vigi Access Data database. Now, since the end, since January 2023, they've had more than 5 million adverse drug reaction reports on their own database. And these reports come from Europe, they come from Americas, they come from all around the world, but the majority of the deaths data are from America. They've got around 35,000 deaths among those 5 million that come from America and 12 or 13,000 from Europe, but altogether 58,000 deaths and around 5 million adverse drug reactions. And they haven't reported any concerns. So it seems like the WHO actually hasn't done an audit of its own database. And the database has very alarming safety signals. You don't have to say, well, it might not be causal or whatever. Just the sheer numbers are extraordinary. And there has, you know, there is the argument, well, people were reporting more because it was a new vaccine. This is the reason, but it's certainly not because and perhaps it's different in the United States, but in this country, there were no adverts saying, don't forget to report because these are novel injections. The doctors have confirmed that they never received any notifications to say, you know, do report because these are novel and we need to make sure that they are safe. So it's just a fraction, I suspect, of the true number of adverse drug reactions. And when you look through the diversity of disease on that database, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Because, and you can see why, it's because it causes multi-system disease. The COVID vaccines cause multi-system disease because they cause inflammation. So they affect the immune system. They cause inflammation, and that inflammation can be in the heart, causing myocarditis, or the liver, or the pancreas, or the brain, wherever they cause or immune system dysfunction, because the immune system is so busy fighting all the spike protein that's being produced that it becomes weaker and exhausted. And so one can get other infections like COVID or autoimmune diseases and so on. And it causes clotting, bleeding and clotting and ischemia. So you get all of so many, you get strokes and heart attacks. The clots are just reported in all vessels around the body and in the aorta. You know, it just seems like you really wouldn't expect to see so many clots in arteries, but we are seeing that. And then the other type of disease that's there is from the protein deposition, like amyloid. So amyloidosis and other sorts of immune disorders that then are triggered as a result. So a real range, but you can really draw it back to the mechanism of action or the mechanism of pathology of the COVID vaccines, the spike protein, and the cascade of events that follows. It really doesn't look good. And so, you know, this is really a reason why we're saying to people, take measures to improve your immune system, to boost your immune system and detox from the spike protein before you get sick, because we don't know who's more likely to get sick than you know, and who's not. And we have some scientific papers that show that at least 1 in 800 people will have a severe adverse reaction, but it's much more frequent than that. It's much more frequent. We can't put a number on it yet. But, you know, as time goes by, many of the illnesses people are suffering from are not even being reported. I would say the majority are not being reported to these drug reaction databases.
Yeah, it's so weird to me that we know now that the spike is one of the most toxic aspects of the virus. It really is a spikeopathy. And I understand why we very quickly put together a vaccine against the spike and used it early. What I don't understand is why, when we have whole viral alternatives, why, if we need to push a vaccine, why you aren't pushing those, which are, you know, the Covaxin and things like that, that are much safer and are much, much broader immunity, frankly, and much more effective in a sense, and don't have this extraordinary production of the spike, which causes the inflammation, which damages the lining of arteries, that gets into the brain, that is persistent. All these things we know. Also, there was, as you mentioned, a large study that just came out that finally admitted that, oh yes, there is a slight increase incidence of myocarditis in young people. But then everybody that reported that immediately then jumped to an article from 2 years ago, again, that showed that COVID caused more myocarditis than vaccine. That was not even the Omicron phase of the illness, by the way. So the point being is that even it is, let's say it is 1 in 5,000 risk of myocarditis from the vaccine, it's a zero risk from Omicron, essentially zero in a 35-year-old. It's not more likely to cause myocarditis than vaccine. It is a zero risk of myocarditis from the illness in the Omicron era we are now in. So again, back to the question, why we push these things when the risk reward is not there. Push it on an 85-year-old, okay. 75-year-old, maybe. A 35-year-old, explain that to me.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, there's certainly sufficient evidence to say that they're not safe enough for anybody, irrespective of age. And we really do suggest that people exercise caution and not take any more. They're not safe. And the speed at which they were designed, developed, approved, and administered to everybody is totally unprecedented. And you would never authorize something so quickly. It takes at least 10 years to determine whether such a genetic therapy is safe, and clearly they are not safe. And if you want to know more about this, we've got a number of resources on our website, videos. We've held expert hearings in October last year. We held an expert hearing on the DNA contamination scandal in the COVID vaccines, because it turns out that they haven't been properly manufactured in any event. And so the DNA plasmid, which is the sort of template to make the mRNA, is included in the vial. They didn't filter it off properly. So it seems to be in different amounts and different quantities and different vials. And it seems to be no quality control whatsoever. But it means that nobody could have given informed consent to these jabs, even if informed consent was asked, because I know that many people were not offered informed consent. They were just simply told, line up for the jab. And, you know, in some cases, they're even incentivized with burgers and whatnot. But informed consent was not given, but it was not possible because nobody even knew that they had DNA contamination and that there's a potential for gene integration with these new vaccines, which are not normal vaccines, and they really shouldn't be called vaccines. They are genetic therapies.
All right. I think, would you like to take some calls, perhaps, Dr. Lori? You up for that?
I would be happy to, yeah.
Okay. Let's get Josh up, see what he has to say. And then, Susan, you wanted to say something about the kits over at TWC or something before while we're waiting for Josh to come up?
Well, you guys are promoting...
Josh, one sec. Susan, go ahead.
So you're promoting like good health and supplements, and we don't talk about this, but the wellness company has all this stuff. And we originally met Dr. Zelenko through the wellness company, and he had his Z-Stack, which was sort of a helpful thing during COVID, and they've really expanded their inventory to everything you need for good health, vitamin D, K2, C, you know, great vitamins all put together. So
we're going to start the bison viscera. We're going to start.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, just check out the website. If you guys need to know where great products are, it supports the show. We really appreciate it. But more than that, we just want to let you know that they're not just, they have like all these new kits now. They have a first aid kit. They have a travel kit. They have a, you know, like five different kits now. So they're really starting to expand their kits and their vitamins, and check it out.
Yeah. And to Dr. Lori's point, I would have been very sort of about supplements and the data around it, but I am, this whole experience has opened me to ideas and the ways of thinking about things that it's new to me. But I'm seeing good evidence that these things are very helpful. And I certainly agree with you philosophically.
And Drew is a paid spokesperson, but I just want to have to say that, but we also completely endorse this company.
But philosophically, I'm tired of people letting themselves get sick, and when they don't have to, and we need to do something about that.
There's a lot, you know, what we're learning, and you know, my background is in allopathic medicine, but I've learned such a lot since COVID because we have international partners. So we've learned a lot from our Asian partners, particularly. There's a lot of natural. I mean, the Philippines and Malaysia, nature is an apothecary, is their apothecary. And so, you know, orthomolecular medicine is hugely practiced there. And that's really nutritional medicine. And they get so many of the nutritional products from nature, like Nigella seed oil, which is a wonderful antiviral, an immune boosting supplement, oil that's delicious on food, or as a seed. And curcumin, you know, we use curcumin in our food, but we never think of taking it as a supplement, or turmeric. So, you know, those are just a kind of ginger as well, you know, so there's a lot of, things that you can take, supplements that you can take, but also you can introduce them, include them in your daily diet. So I include Nigella seed oil in my diet, and I use it every day. So, I'm very healthy. So, and there's also, I know Sarah Meyer also says iodine should be taken daily, a few drops in iodine, to sterilize the nasal passages and the gut. So there are all these simple remedies that one can take before you even get anywhere near needing a doctor.
So what Dr. Lori is talking about also is this, whether we can prevent viral illness before they take hold by putting things into our nasal passages. And that's a whole nother area of work we can do. Josh, what's going on there?
Not much. So basically, you know, the diet is really important to me. I heard you with Vince and talking about, you know, food disorders, eating disorders, I guess. You know, there's an epidemic of obesity. The pandemic didn't help that for a lot of people who had to stay home. So I wanted to tie that to mental health, because I think a lot of the eating disorder stuff is linked to the personality disorder thing. I feel like there's kind of an epidemic of personality disorders now. I mean, you said you saw them in the 1990s, but boy, you know, if you just look at some of the political leaders, we have a personality disorder problem.
I agree. And the mobs, so, too, man. Mobs, yeah, the way people react in mobs, that's character stuff. That is character disorder stuff.
Yeah, so I think we're talking about narcissism. And I want to know if we could ever have a pandemic of narcissism where the WHO could say, we have a mental health emergency and it's personality disorder. So I just wanted to, you know.
All right, we'll throw that out there. I appreciate that, Josh. I can't imagine them doing that. But what do you say to it, Lori?
Well, I don't know, but I do think, there's been such a huge impact on people's mental health in the last few years, especially for children. Mm. And so, you know, I think it does require a special focus, and we need to support our young people as much as we can by teaching them about community again and listening to them and creating time, having family dinners, being in nature, doing family things together. I think it's been a very strange time for young people, and my heart just goes out to them, really. I think many suffer from anxiety and depression. And of course, when they do get in contact with the allopathic system, it seems like the only option is to put them on antidepressants. That's all that's offered to them, instead of, again, looking at the root cause and saying, we're not supposed to live in isolation. We're not supposed to live far away from our families. We're not supposed to, have TV dinners, and, we actually thrive when we're together, we have opportunity to share and communicate.
But to your point about depression and anxiety, and to Josh's point about character pathology, if you can't regulate emotions, you add discomfort on top of that, it becomes harder to tolerate. So tolerating hunger when you're already severely dysregulated and that pizza looks good, you're going to take the pizza. That's just sort of the way humans work. And so I do think that is a major contributor here. Sylvia, you have to unmute your thing at the lower left-hand corner of your phone to speak to us. You're up as a speaker. You're just muted. So you got to unmute yourself per Caleb's cartoon there that he's got. And if not, I have to throw you back, Sylvia. So you just got to unmute the mic in the lower left-hand corner where it says mic is off. All right. Not sure that's going to work. And if you want to speak, you just raise your hand. You've got to click on the button the way Caleb has shown it in the cartoon, and then I bring you on up here. Dr. Lori, I know it's got to be like a 9 in the evening there. I appreciate you spending some time with us here. Are there any topics we missed? Anything that you're concerned about that you wanted to be sure people to be aware about?
Well, I would like people to think about what's just happened in the last few years as an opportunity, an opportunity for great change. Mm-hmm. And the change starts with each one of us. So, I would, at World Council for Health are promoting an initiative called the Great Free Set. And this is, we really have the opportunity now to look at how we are living and how we are getting along together and what's good for us and reevaluate and think about how we can set ourselves free from the things that are making us feel bad, exploiting us, and so on, including this increased globalist agenda called the Great Reset, mm-hmm. which seems to be seeking to control us more and more.
Did you call it a free set?
There's a website called thegreatfreeset.org. If you are feeling really overwhelmed, it's a great website to visit because it has some simple steps that you can take, little challenges, and they're presented in quite an uplifting way with cartoons and things to show you how you can liberate yourself from the digital dungeon, by using your mobile phone. There's how you can engage more in your community and buy local, the importance of using cash and not getting sucked into, all the digital currency and digital IDs. So, you know, just ways where one becomes less of a victim and less exploitable and more resilient. So also teaching people about their rights, because, you know, health and sovereignty are really connected. If you don't know your rights and you don't know that you have rights, that you have choice, you don't have to follow orders, that in actual fact, you're your own territory and nobody can come near you with needles or anything else. And you can choose what's best for you. And that's always the best decision. Then you can't really be healthy if you don't have those, sense of sovereignty and of self-determination and self-governance and control. So, I mean, many people don't actually even know what sovereignty means. And, it's almost a word that's been hidden from us because it's the essence of who we are as human beings, or what we should be, what we should be striving to be, which is, you know, that we self-govern and we act on our conscience, and that's what determines our decisions. So, and we're free, and our freedom ends where somebody else's begins. So we can't impinge on other people's freedoms. But that we are free to speak, we are free to, we have a bodily autonomy, we're free to travel, we have rights to have a roof over our heads and food and all of that. So it's really important that people know their rights, and then it becomes much easier not to be a victim and to take control, not only of one's health, but of one's life. And that's, you know, the route to happiness is feeling more in control and less of a victim or being, you know, having to go follow orders.
And here to all the above, and how odd that we have to fight for that. I thought that was something that William Wallace had to do. I didn't realize it would be a current sort of a phenomenology that we have to engage in, both for our individual sovereignty and for our medical freedom. But here we are. And to your point about it being an opportunity, you said that, and I had a very interesting emotional reaction. I thought, opportunity, it's hard for me to see it that way. And I thought, oh, it's because I'm not fully accepting how much things have changed from where I want them to be, or where they used to be, or I wish they were. And that, and part of making change is accepting reality on reality's terms. So I have a little bit of work to do on accepting the present, how bad the present moment is, so I can see it as an opportunity. I'll give final words to you.
Well, there's certainly no going back. You know, what's changed in the past few years is absolutely we cannot go back. We're only on a path forward. So we can choose dystopia, or we can choose a better way of doing things, and that's the option, really, the great reset or the great free set. So I'm certainly going to choose the great free set, because, you know, what we've seen is that we have all these human rights laws and declarations and organizations, but human rights have been violated on a grand scale. We have the Nuremberg Code, which is about no medical experimentation without consent. And that's medical experimentation has been going on without consent, informed consent on a grand scale, on an international scale. We have international health organizations that are supposed to be protecting us from disease, but in actual fact, they're weaponizing disease against us by threatening us with more pandemics and such. And we have, you know, we have slavery being abolished and slavery's going on more than ever, not just with adults, but children. You know, we haven't even touched on that subject, but, you know, the most terrible things and child trafficking and sex abuse is one of the biggest industries. I think it's second only to the drug trade. So, you know, there's all of these things that need to be addressed. The system doesn't work, and we need to we can't fix it. We need to create better systems. And so, you know, so if it's my last words, I'd say, you know, there's a better way, and let's get busy with it, creating it.
Let's get at it. You can follow Dr. Lori at on X, Lori, LAWRIE underscore DR. Dr. DR, Tess Lori, TESS, LAWRIE dot substack.com. And Telegram, Dr. Tess Lori, I don't know what Telegram is.
I do have a Telegram channel. Please also do go to the World Council for Health website, worldcouncilforhealth.org. There's a wealth of resources there for mind health, for detox, for communication. There's so many interesting videos to watch. And in actual fact, I think importantly, do stay tuned for information on our WHO expert hearing, which is on the 26th of March, and there'll be more information on social media about that.
Beautiful. Dr. Lori, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Drew.
Cheers. All right, the coming up schedules. I said I believe I'm off next week, though that is not set in stone yet. Caleb, are you gone all week? Is that what's happening? I'm supposed to be gone, but my schedule has not yet been set. But the following
week, go ahead. I'm gone this weekend. I'm not gone all week.
Okay. Next week, the following week, though, starting with Brett Weinstein on the 5th, Dave Rubin, Kevin Vance, just a crazy schedule. Carolla, Fela, Christine Anderson, you know, from the freedom fighter from the European Parliament. So a lot coming. Should be very interesting. We appreciate you all being here. Let me take a glance at the Rumble Rants. Okay, you guys. Herb Green is a sucker for foreign accents. That's a British accent. Is that a foreign accent? That's you guys over on the Restream. A lot of thank you and gratitude for Dr. Lori and her ideas. All right, we will leave it at that. We have Mike Benz. I don't know if you guys saw that. The Mike Benz has been very active in social media lately, explaining the, what do we call it? The censorship complex. He calls it the blob, which involves government and private. And it's when you see his videos, it first of all, things start to make sense that I could not make sense of. I couldn't understand where it was coming from. And it's sort of scary, not sort of scary, it is quite scary, his construct of what is going on out there. The Atlantic Group, I suggest you look that up. It's kind of wild what his constructs are and what seems to be happening to us. So it's important we know about it and stand up to it. That will be March 20th with Mike Benz. We'll be back a week from Tuesday. Do keep an eye out. If we do something next week randomly, we will let you know. But as it is Brett Weinstein a week from Tuesday, 3:00 Pacific time. We'll see you then. Ask Dr. Drew is produced by Caleb Nation and Susan Pinsky. As a reminder, the discussions here are not a substitute for medical care, diagnosis, or treatment. This show is intended for educational and informational purposes only. I am a licensed physician, but I am not a replacement for your personal doctor, and I am not practicing medicine here. Always remember that our understanding of medicine and science is constantly evolving. Though my opinion is based on the information that is available to me today, some of the contents of this show could be outdated in the future. Be sure to check with trusted resources in case any of the information has been updated since this was published. If you or someone you know is in immediate danger, don't call me, call 911. If you're feeling hopeless or suicidal, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. You can find more of my recommended organizations and helpful resources at drdrew.com/help.